He made his way through Holloway's quiet streets, noticing lights in the windows of most of the houses. The snow wasn't marred yet by many footprints or cartwheels, but soon the merchants would open their shops, people and carriages would fill the sidewalks and streets, and the small village would bustle through another day of holiday preparations. As he approached the cottage where his mother, Tersa, lived, he studied the walkways up to her cottage and the neighboring one that was occupied by Manny, an older woman he considered a friend rather than a former servant. Then he smiled and, using craft, dealt with the snow as he glided up the walkway and knocked on the cottage door. He waited a minute, then knocked again. The third time, he put a bit of temper and craft into the act of applying knuckles to wood, which guaranteed the sound would roll through the cottage like thunder. A few seconds later, the door swung open as the young woman on the other side growled, "If someone doesn't answer the door, you could take the hint that it's too early for com—" She blinked at him. He smiled at the journey-made black widow who lived with Tersa as part of her training. "Lady Alista?" he said politely.
"Prince Saadi."
Her tone was much less polite. Since he was who and what he was, she couldn't shut the door in his face. But she wanted to. Obviously, Alista was one of those women who did not wake up cheerful. That was all right. A few months of marriage to Janelle had taught him the value of having a few tricks when it came to dealing with a witch who woke up grumpy, and he had become an expert at all of them. "Tersa asked me to come early," he said, slipping past Alista. "Since my timing is a bit off, why don't I make breakfast for the two of you?" He shrugged out of his overcoat and vanished it as he continued down the hall to the kitchen, not giving Alista time to answer. All right. Tersa hadn't told him to come this early, but she would be awake, and he wanted to slip out with his requested gift before too many people were up and about. "Good morning, darling," he said as he walked into the kitchen. Tersa turned away from the counter and studied him for a moment. Then she smiled.
"It's the boy. It's my boy."
Her boy. His mother was a broken black widow lost in the madness the Blood called the Twisted Kingdom. Lost in the dreams and visions and the shattered pieces of her mind. She remembered him as the child he had been before he'd been taken from her. She remembered him as the youth who had met her again but didn't know who she was. And sometimes she remembered him as the man he was now. But however she saw him on any given day, he was always the boy, her boy. "I've come to cook you breakfast," Damon said. He gave her his best boy grin. "And to talk about gifts." She narrowed her gold eyes as if she was about to argue. Then she shrugged and turned back to the counter.
"There are bacon and eggs and bread for toast."
"That sounds like breakfast," Damon said. "How would you like me to make the eggs?" She hesitated, and he wondered if she would be able to answer or if her mind had turned down another path too far removed from such mundane things as bacon and eggs.
"I like them scrambled,"
she finally said. He put an arm around her, brushed his lips against her temple, and felt all his love for her well up and squeeze his heart.
"Me too."
Lucifer Yaslana back-winged and landed lightly on the walkway in front of Tersa's cottage. He looked at the cottage directly in front of him, then at its neighbor. Manny had spent most of her life as a servant, was used to working with her hands, and didn't shun physical labor. Even now, she'd taken on the duties of housekeeper for Tersa and Alista, an arrangement that satisfied all three women. But Manny wasn't a young woman by any stretch of truth, and it seemed